The gospel today, we can look at it and see what it says to us both about Jesus and what it says to us about the apostles. First, maybe it's a little easier to look at what it says to us about Jesus. The apostles say to one another at the end of the gospel, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" And that's one of the marks of the divinity of Jesus, is this his power over all of creation. Beautiful reading, the first reading. You know, the first reading and the gospel reading are always related in some way. And today it's from the book of Job. And in the book of Job, one of the very interesting things, the author of the book of Job seemed to have a remarkable knowledge of the natural world, or at least a remarkable interest in it, especially in a lot of the things that that God says in the book of Job, demonstrate this beautiful appreciation of what God has done in his creation. And that's what we see in the in that first reading. It's really a part of God's answer to Job at the very end of the book. That's not where this reading comes from, but it's saying, you know, I am God. He asks all these questions. Where were you when I did all of these things? You know, and it's all these beautiful, amazing things about the creation. And you know, the point is, that's one of the real marks of divinity. And so Jesus, you know, it here demonstrates his mastery over, not only over creation, but actually, especially for the Jewish people, the sea and storms on the sea and things like that were really emblematic of the sort of the primordial chaos of things. You know, that's what, before the creation began in the book of Genesis, you know, it says the Spirit of God moved on the waters. The Jewish people were always a little scared of water, to tell you the truth, getting too far out into it and that sort of thing. And so Jesus is sort of master over this storm, really identifies him with the Creator, with the one who establishes everything and in order and harmony. And so this says an awful lot about who Jesus is, the gospel today. Maybe in a less flattering way, it says a good bit also about the apostles. Jesus says, it's very interesting, at the beginning of the gospel today, he says, "Let us cross to the other side." That's how they get in these boats to go across. And of course, you can just take that as a literal geographical reference, getting to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But we even use that expression ourselves sometimes, who are going to the other side, you know? It seems that Jesus is inviting the apostles to come to the supernatural level of appreciating things, to leave the natural and come to the supernatural, to cross to the other side. And unfortunately, I don't think the apostles are ready to do that yet. We see from their reaction today in the gospel, they're still very much in the here and now. It says that, you know, as they got in this boat, that a violent squall came up. And there were all these waves that were breaking. It was a storm, and they were very, very terrified, very afraid. And Jesus, you know, of course, calms the storm. But Jesus is right there in the boat with them, you know? He was right there. And furthermore, this was a squall they were experiencing, you know? It sort of crossed my mind that, you know, this thing may have been over when Jesus, by the time Jesus said, "Quiet, be still," it might have been about over anyhow, you know? You know how we let ourselves get all agitated about all kinds of things that, one, may not even be worth getting agitated about in the first place. Well, certainly they're not. But also being forgetful of Jesus being with us. I mean, what better place could they have been than in the boat with Jesus, right? What other place? You know, I think this year that we have been through, and to some extent are still going through with all the effects of the pandemic, has been one of these things where maybe we need to see, we need to respond more generously to that invitation of the Lord to come over to the other side, to see things from a supernatural perspective. You know, it seems, and understandably, I mean, you know, this year and all of these things that have happened in the pandemic, we've been, and things that have kind of happened at the same time, all these kind of crazy things in the world we live in, all sorts of different things happening. But, we don't really have any control over those things. What we do have control over, though, is the way we react to those things. You know, the way that we cope with those things or manage those things. That we have control over. We can control that. We can't control the things out there. As a matter of fact, if we try to do that, that's going to then probably keep us from having control over the way that we react. We become, reactive instead of remembering that Jesus is with us in all of these things. And so, you know, we have seen, you know, kind of crazy things happen in the world. And you know, looking in our own souls, I have to say, look at mine, like, gosh, why did I get so concerned about this or about that or whatever? When Jesus has always been in the boat with us, when I can always turn to Jesus, you know. One of the great images for the church is the bark of Peter, the boat of Peter, which is one of these little fishing boats out on the Sea of Galilee. That's what Peter's boat was, you know. It's why very often in a church, you know, the main body of a church is called the nave of the church. That comes from the Latin word for ship, actually, and sort of an image of the church going through the world, you know, and through time, bouncing away, kind of like Noah's Ark as a prefiguring of it, you know, that this vast flood that comes, but Noah and those on board with him go through the flood and then arrive safely at the other side. And that's true for us. It was true for the apostles, but they let themselves get caught up in the moment rather than crossing over to eternity and seeing things from the point of view of eternity. They saw things from the point of view of the moment, you know. This violent squall that was passing, and the fact that Jesus was with them in the midst of it all. You know, Jesus being with them doesn't mean that the storm was any less severe. The storm was just as severe, whether Jesus was in the boat with them or not. But they needed to remember that Jesus was there. And that's the great witness I think we see very often in the lives of the great saints. They're the ones who are able to remember the presence of Jesus. It's one of the things why daily interior personal prayer is absolutely necessary for the Christian life. Because without daily interior personal prayer, it's very easy for us to forget the presence of Jesus. Jesus is always with us, right? Just like he was with them in the boat. But they forgot about it. They got distracted by the storm. And they forgot about the presence of Jesus. That happens with us, especially if we're not praying regularly. We can forget about the presence of Jesus. When we remember his presence, we can always go to him, and he will always help us. When the apostles remember, oh, yeah, Jesus is here. Let's go wake him up. Isn't that the funniest thing they do? They wake up, don't you care that we're perishing? What? Isn't that funny? But anyhow, we're just as funny as that, you know, ourselves. To remember him, to stay with him, to remain with him. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so we begin again, you know. And so it's just a good reminder to live this, to respond to that invitation that Jesus gave at the beginning of the gospel. Let us cross over to the other side. Let us live here and now from the point of view of heaven. You know, it helps so much. The things that we're not going to care about in heaven, we shouldn't care about too much now either. you know? It helps us to put things in the right order. And also let us pray every day and remember the presence of Jesus. You know, even if it seems like he's asleep at the switch, you know, he really isn't. He really is God. He really is the master of all things, including our little lives and little hearts, you know, if we'll just let him be that. And to go to him, to trust him in everything, whatever may come. And then those walls that come, it doesn't mean that they're not going to come. Oh, they're going to come. They might even come with greater intensity and greater frequency. I don't know. But we can ride through them. You know, I have this image of, maybe you're probably kind of silly of it. You know, the way some people approach a roller coaster, you know? Some people really love roller coasters, you know? And they'll, if they're at an amusement park, they'll go and line up and they'll get in the front of the roller coaster and they'll wave their hands in the air, ooh, all this kind of thing. And then there's some people who hate roller coasters. And why they get on a roller coaster in the first place, I don't know. But some people, and they're sitting in the back and they're doing like this, and they're, ooh, ooh, what is this gonna be over? Ooh, all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, the thing is, the roller coaster's on a track, to tell you the truth, you know? And the ones sitting up in front waving their hands in the air and the ones doing like that, they're going to arrive back at the same place, actually. You know? And so better for, you know, might as well enjoy the ride, right? So let's enjoy the ride with Jesus.